two powerful, powerful readings this morning. They say all scripture is God-breathed, but I sometimes feel like there's particular scriptures, I know for me, maybe for you too, that have a little bit of extra God breath in them. And this morning, these are two for me that are like that. First is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil assails me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after. To live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversary. For false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. How much more appropriate can we be, my friends, especially for those who face so many tough things to come. Take courage. Wait for the Lord. And from the fourth chapter of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, life has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, those of you out there who are really, really familiar with your Bible, you're used to hearing different words for "I will make you fish for people," and they are, right, "I will make you fishers of men." I prefer this translation. I think it's closer to the original intent of the Greek. I love the phrase "fishers of men." I think it's a wonderful phrase. But "I will make you fish for people" brings us, I think, to what Jesus is really talking about. How many of you are fishermen? I am. Anyone else a fisherman? Who do you make fish for fish? The worm. It's the worm that you make. No one makes you go out and fish. Tell the truth. You want to go out and fish. Who makes you fish? Who gets made to fish? The worm. So what we're talking about here in this translation and I think accurately, is Jesus says, come with me, I'm going to make you bait. And that's the name of our sermon. I'm going to make you bait. It's true. That's true. That's the whole idea. Come with me, and you'll be bait. Now, if you're going to be bait for Jesus, there's got to be a few things about you that'll prove attractive. Now, fish like worms, right? Well, if you go out there with a plate of worms, you probably aren't going to attract much of anybody. That's where the analogy falls to the ground. So instead, how can we be bait for Christ? What can we do? How can we be that we're attractive to people so Christ can catch them? Well, I want you to think. I want you to think about, well, let's think about what people might sometimes say to you that is proof that you're attractive for Christ. Any of you out here ever have someone come to you and tell you something god-awful that you really didn't want to hear, like, ooh, and come to you and tell you it because they say, I know you're someone I can trust? Anyone ever done that? Had that happen? Yeah, me too. Now, don't stop. Don't, if you do it to me. I'm not saying I regret it. But that is a sign that you are bait for Christ. That is a sign that you are attractive in a right way. If people look at you and see someone I can trust, someone I can confess to, you're good bait. You're good bait. Okay? Any of you ever have someone come to you and say, how can you be so calm at a time like this? Yeah? A few of you? Yeah. That is another sign that you are good bait. Another sign that you are good bait. If people see a calmness about you that says, I have my eye on the big picture and I have faith that we'll get through this. That's what people are really saying to you when they come to you. It's kind of like that character in the Bible that comes forward and says, how can I have what you have? How can I get what you've got to Jesus and his followers? That's what a person is saying when they say, how can you be so calm? They're saying, how can I get what you have? Clunk, you've just caught him. You've just caught him. That's good bait. Here's one maybe you haven't thought of. Has anyone ever come to you and said, man, you are so creative. You are so creative. It's beautiful what you've done. Wow. Any of you? You know, just raise your hand real low. Someone who comes to you like that is really saying, what you have done speaks to me. It means something to me. It speaks to me. And that is reaching someone in a new place they're not used to being reached. And that is being good bait. That is doing the work of God as well. Definitely, definitely doing the work of God. Any of you ever had someone say, you know, and as I was going through it, those words you said to me just kept coming back to me and ringing in my head. And I thought of what you said, and it made a difference. My friends, that's the definition of preaching. You didn't even know you were a preacher, maybe, right? But if you are the type of person that offers up light-giving, enlightening truth that sticks with someone and guides them through a time of dark need, good Lord, you're great bait. You're great bait. You made a difference to them. See, when you're fishing, you're just trying to catch something so you can eat it, right? Or if you're like my friend Andy and me, you're trying to catch something to educate it and release it back so it knows not to get caught again. That's right. Andy and I were in marine education. That's right. Now, but when you're fishing for Jesus, it is critical. It is critical to get them into the boat. We all know people who keep us up at night, who make us shake our heads in concern. We all know people who need work done on their soul and their lives, who need a light to shine, who need truth, who need beauty, who need hope. We all know people like that. And my friends, that is what we're here for. We are here to reach them. We are here to attract them, not to ourselves, but to Christ. The whole idea of evangelism is not to make our church better, but to make life better for people in need. The whole idea of being fishers for people, fishing for people, is not for a sense of accomplishment for us, but to effect a rescue for them. So, if I tell you you're worms for Christ, well, that's an honor. That's an honor. And if you're the person whose job it is right now to shine truth, even if that truth hurts, if you're the person whose job it is to speak words that inspire, even if they are not immediately accepted, if you are the person who is to be the calm, convicted presence, even when they don't realize that's what they need, if you are the bait for Jesus, be proud that God thinks enough of you to put you in that situation. And understand that God will give you all the protection you need if you just do the right thing. And know that you follow a long line all the way back to Christ Himself of people who have been in the same position as you are now. Be good bait. Allow God to shine out from you and through you. And know, you won't be swallowed up. You won't be. Know, like they tell us in Psalm 27, those powerful words. I want you to think of the situation that comes to you now. The situation that comes to you right now, the place where you're dealing with somebody maybe wants to tear your hair out, and you want to tear your hair out because of them. You're dealing with someone you're worried about or scared of. And I want you to take this with you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Now my head is lifted up above the enemy all around me. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Don't give me up. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And final advice from the psalmist. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen.